I'm looking here at this psalm. If you look at the heading over the psalm, it says a song of degrees of David. Now, there's 15 of these, what they term as a song of degrees. From Psalm 120 through Psalm 134, they're all referred to as song of degrees. Some very definitely attributed to David, but all of them has that subtitle or that heading, a song of degrees. Now, why is that important? Well, we know the body of the text itself is inspired, but those little headings give you a little insight about the passage, where it talks about a song of degrees. That word degrees has to do with ascension. It has to do with being lifted. It has to do with rising. Amen. So the setting here is that the children of Israel were just like you and I. What do you mean, preacher? I mean that you and I forget about who our God is. Amen. We are easily overwhelmed by circumstance, and we forget about who's in control. But our God's always been in control. The old cliches that you hear, did it ever occur to you that nothing ever occurs to God, that God's never caught off guard, that God's always in control, amen? Well, we hear that, but sometimes we forget that, amen? And then we have things that take us by surprise, catch us off guard. This coronavirus, nobody really realized what it was. They still don't understand everything about it. They're trying to figure it all out. But I can tell you this, it never caught God off guard. Never snuck up on him, amen. God knew all about it. But now when you think about that thing of a song of degrees, 15 of them, you can look and try and study it out and the significance of it. Some will tell you that it talks about the 15 steps leading up to the men's court in the temple and different things like that. But what I want us to emphasize on that whole thing of a song of degrees, a song of ascension, is that you and I need to realize that, hey, we're on the winning side. Amen. Amen. Hey, our God's in control, and we're on the winning side. When you think about degrees, when the springtime comes and then summertime comes, the temperature is measured in degrees. And it rises the warmer it gets. Amen. This COVID thing, this coronavirus, one of the symptoms of the virus is when your temperature rises, when you get a little fever, when it increases, when it ascends. So the temperature is measured by degrees. Just trying to give you a few illustrations about that word degrees. When you think about learning, education. You're talking about someone who has lifted themselves and earned some kind of a degree, whether it be a bachelor's degree or a master's degree or a doctorate degree. They've lifted themselves. They've ascended from what they were by obtaining a degree. You could look at it too in the sense of altitude. The higher you go up, it's measured in degrees. The higher you ascend, it's measured in degrees. Well, I've got good news for every one of us. Hey, we're going to ascend all the way up one of these days. They won't be able to even measure how far it is, amen. But we're headed up, amen, amen. Now, when the psalmist writes here, when David writes here, he puts a phrase down twice. Now, for God to allow him to pen it once would have been enough. Back to back, though, in the verses, the psalmist pens down these words in verses 1 and verse 2. He says, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side. And then again in verse 2, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side. Praise God. Hallelujah. We forget who's on our side. Amen. The Lord's on our side. Paul the Apostle, writing to the church at Rome, he said, if God be for us, who can be against us? Amen. Hey, God's got this thing all figured out. You and I will look back on this one day and realize God was always in control. It didn't sneak up on Him. Everything's going to come out all right. Amen. That little word, if, is such a big word. Two little letters, if. Amen. But here in the Psalm 124, the psalmist is writing about the futility of life apart from God and His protection. You think about where we'd be if we didn't have God on our side. Amen. You think how bad it would be. They're losing their job. They may lose their house. Some are losing their health. How bad would it be if the Lord were not on your side when you lose your job or you lose your house or you lose your health? Amen. Hey, we're still on the winning side. The old devil wants to beat us down. He wants to defeat us. He wants to dishearten us. Amen. Look here at something in verse 3 where it says, then they had swallowed us up quick. See, what we forget about is a twofold thing. We forget about who our God is. Hey, we don't serve some little bitty God. We don't serve a do-nothing God. We serve the God who spoke the worlds into existence. Amen. We serve the good God Almighty. Amen. The great I Am. But then also what we forget about is because we belong to Him, we have an adversary. And the old devil wants to beat us down. He's a destroyer. He wants to detour us. He wants to dishearten us. He wants to get us to the point we sang here. Oh, it's been, I don't know when it was, when we're still meeting. We sang that song, living by faith in Jesus above. But the old devil wants to get us to living by sight. And just as soon as we begin to live by sight, the bottom falls out. He lays that snare before us. He gets us focused on circumstance, on surroundings, on what's happening around us, instead of focusing on the one who allows the circumstance, the one who's in control of the surroundings, the one who nothing ever occurs to Him. Amen. But the old devil, he'll dishearten us, discourage us. He wants to defeat us. He goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. John says he's a thief. He's a robber. He's a destroyer. Hey, there's nothing good about the old devil. He doesn't like what's going on in the church house. Boy, he wants to shut down the church. If he has to shut down the nation, to shut down the church, the old devil allows the nation to shut down just to shut down the churches. Get us focused on circumstance. Well, we have an adversary. And what he does is he gets us to live by sight. And in living by sight, he sets a snare before us. Now, it says a song of degrees of David. David's a prime example of what it is to live by sight. He was the great man of God who lived by faith, a man after God's own heart. But one time David got out of place. And when David got out of place, just as soon as he got out of place, the old devil laid a snare. And David began to live by sight. And one thing led to another. See, the old devil, he's observed man for 6,000 years. He knows man pretty well. We all have the same weaknesses. He's observed us well enough to where he knows how to lay the snare and when to lay the snare and how to get us living by sight. Well, David, he was ensnared by the lust of the flesh. The preachers admonished us much about being faithful as much as we can to the house of God. And there's a reason for that. If we're not careful, our eyes will get on the wrong things. Our flesh will be drawn to the wrong things. The devil lay that snare for you and I. And before you know it, we'll be just like David. But David was ensnared by the lust of the flesh. Achan was ensnared by the lust of the eyes. King Saul was ensnared by the pride of life. And John tells us in his epistle that those are the three avenues in which the devil attacks us, through the lust of the eyes and the lust of the flesh and the pride of life. Amen. Well, the psalmist wants us to know that we have an answer to the enemy. Okay? Look here at verse 7. Verse 7. Our soul is escaped as a bird out of the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken, and we are escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who hath made heaven and earth. Hey, God is our helper. The preacher sang, he couldn't have picked a better song. You need an anchor. We need an anchor. The Lord is our anchor. Amen. Glory to God. Hey, if you'll latch on to Him, if you'll settle upon Him, hey, if you'll stand upon Him, it doesn't matter how high the waves roll. It doesn't matter how strong the winds blow. Hey, if you're anchored on the rock, you'll stand through the trial. You'll stand through the testing. You'll stand through the adversity. Amen. If you're anchored on the rock, glory to God. Amen. See, we have an answer to the enemy. It's the Lord. Amen. Well, let me run by this thought just a little bit here. If it had not been the Lord. Well, there's never been a truer statement. If it had not been for the Lord, who knows what would happen? Amen. This is a poor illustration. But you think about a CEO over a corporation, okay? He's in control of what happens in that company. Now, he's just flesh, and he can be caught off guard with some things. Well, our Lord is the CEO over everything. But the difference is he's never caught off guard by anything. Amen? If it had not been the Lord, just think about where you and I would be. Got about four little thoughts here in the message. One is this. If it had not been the Lord, Adam would have remained in his sin. Adam wasn't looking for God. When Eve, now Eve was beguiled, we understand. Eve was beguiled. But Adam went into that thing with eyes wide open. Adam so loved Eve that he chose to die. Well, there's another whole message there. But Adam willfully disobeyed God, knowing the consequences of it. He went in it with his eyes wide open. When he ate of that fruit, he died right then. The Lord said, in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Just as soon as that fruit touched the lips of Adam, Adam died spiritually right then. Now, if it hadn't been for the Lord, Adam would have remained in that state. Can you imagine getting up every day and no God? Could you even think about a world with no God? But see, God hadn't changed. He says, I am the Lord, I change not. And God had not changed. It was Adam who had changed. God came in the cool of the day as he always had. God came in the cool of the day and he called out, Adam, Adam, where art thou? Now, God wasn't looking for him. God knew where he was. God wanted Adam to know where he was. And my point is that Adam wasn't approaching God. God was still coming to Adam. And that's the same thing for you and I. Hey, Adam would have died in his sin. Adam would have lived 930 years, a miserable existence, only to die in his sin, to die without hope, die without God, go to the devil's hell, if it had not been for the Lord. Amen. Adam would have died in his sin. But God came in the cool of the day. Then came Jesus. Well, if it had not been for the Lord, not only Adam, but you think about Noah. If it had not been for the Lord, Noah would have drowned in the flood. God, in Genesis chapter 6, God looked over all of the human race. And he saw that the hearts of men were filled with evil continually. And it grieved him in his heart that he'd made man. That was Noah's generation. Noah was part of the mix. Noah was one of them. Just like you and I are part of this generation. This is our generation. Amen. But you read on down in Genesis 6. And it says, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. If it had not been the Lord, there'd have been no human race. They'd all died in the flood. Adam and his wife, Noah and his wife and his three sons and their three wives, all of them would have died in the flood. But here comes Jesus with his grace again. Amen. Then came Jesus. If it had not been the Lord, Noah found grace. Amen. You can go all through the Bible. You think about Lot, Abram's nephew. Lot sat in the gate in Sodom. I've heard our preacher say, and I've said it, not everybody in Sodom was a Sodomite. But everybody in Sodom tolerated the Sodomite. Boy, that ought to wake up America. Amen. Boy, whenever you get on that, folks get quiet. I mean, you're at home, but I could feel you getting quiet. Just that statement, folks get quiet. You're tolerating it. Well, Lot sat in the gate. I mean, he wasn't Joe or Jack or Harry. Lot sat in the gate. Didn't even realize what's going on around him. If it had not been the Lord, glory to God. Jesus showed up to Abraham with two angels. Those three men showed up. And the Lord told Abraham what he was going to do, how he was going to destroy the cities of the plains. It's where Abraham interceded for Lot, knowing his nephew Lot had raised him as his own son. But here now, the Lord sent those two angels to deliver Lot out of Sodom. Lot didn't want to leave. All of his family was there. His wife certainly didn't want to leave. She looked back, turned into a pillar of salt. Those other two daughters, their heart wasn't in leaving. Hey, but God brought him out before he rained down fire and destruction upon the cities of the plains. God brought him out. Hey, the only thing probably withholding the judgment of God is the Holy Ghost of God right now. As he works through the local church, as he works through the body of Christ, that is the only thing holding back the judgment of God right now. Hey, but this world's all going after the Antichrist. Everything's being set up. The stage is being set. But just as God delivered the Lot out of the city of Sodom before he rained down destruction, mark her down. You and I are going to be delivered out of this world before destruction sets. Hey, if it had not been the Lord, God would have gave up on us. You and I would have been left without hope. Yes, but God delivered them with a mighty hand. Amen. Well, you can go on through your Bible. You can think about the children of Israel. They're down in bondage in Egypt. When they first went, there was a different Pharaoh who showed kindness. But as the years went by and God blessed Israel, prospered Israel, every Pharaoh that come up began to put more tasks upon the children of Israel. They had to bottom out and cry out for deliverer. But if it had not been for the Lord, God had set that thing in motion years before with the birth of Moses to bring them out with a mighty hand. God destroyed Sodom through a series of 10 plagues. And then God brought them to the Red Sea. They didn't get there by taking a wrong turn. They didn't get there by accident. They didn't get there because they took the wrong fork. No, God led them to the Red Sea. They had the impediments, the hindrances on both sides. And then Pharaoh barreling down upon them. And the children of Israel, their cry to Moses was, "You brought us out here that we'll be killed out here in the wilderness, out here at the Red Sea." But see, with all their moaning and groaning, boy, does that ring a bell. And all their complaining, Moses said, "Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord." And that night, God caused a strong east wind to blow across that Red Sea. When they looked and all hope was lost, they thought they were gone. If it had not been the Lord, hey, they'd have been swooped back up into bondage. Probably many of them killed there before they got back to Egypt. But I'm telling you, God's right there on time. Right there when he's supposed to be working everything out to his glory. Amen. Hey, if it hadn't have been no other way, you think about it. God parted those waters. The children of Israel walked across dry shod. He closed up those waters on Pharaoh and the Egyptians. In Exodus 15, the whole chapter is a song of praise. Moses' song of praise. Miriam and them women got them timbrels out. Boy, wouldn't that be something? Where's them cymbals? Glory to God. Amen. Hey, they had themselves a time rejoicing. If it had not been the Lord. Glory to God. Hey, we're on the right side of this thing. Amen. Well, wind this thing down in this sense. If it had not been the Lord. You know, all this time of year, and I don't know how they figured the dates and, you know, all this stuff where they come up with Palm Sunday and what the world calls Easter Sunday, the church recognizes as Resurrection Sunday, and how they vary it every year. I don't understand all that. But I do know this, that you think about it. If it had not been for the Lord, see, all this was foreordained. All this was planned by God, how that Jesus would come at God's appointed time, that he'd be born of the woman, born of the virgin, that he'd live on this earth not just to be an example. good night. If that's all it was, you and I might as well throw in the towel. All this was set up by God. See, you and I were just like Adam. You and I were as blinded as Noah and as Lot and as the children of Israel. Hey, if you think you're something, you need to take heed. You're going to fall. Amen. Hey, if it had not been for the Lord, every one of us would die in our sin. Every one of us would die without hope. Every one of us would face eternity in a lake of fire. Hey, but then came Jesus. Amen. He set his face like a flint toward Calvary. That's what we're celebrating this week. Hey, he rode in on the foal of the donkey in fulfillment of Scripture. The Jews began to hail him and praise him. Hosanna to the highest. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. But in a matter of days, just a matter of days, some of these same ones cried out, crucify him, crucify him, and deliver unto us Barabbas. Hey, but this is why Jesus came. If it had not been the Lord. See, man thinks he can pay his own debt. Man thinks if he does enough good, he'll be able to wake up in heaven someday. You know, everybody has a hope of some kind of better life after death. Every religion teaches some kind of better life after death. But here, the truth is, there is no better life apart from here. Then came Jesus, amen. He came, laid himself down as a lamb led to the slaughter, willingly gave himself. He shed his blood. He purposed it on Calvary. Every drop of it was because you and I were so heavily indebted. But see, we're going to look back someday. If it had not been for the Lord, I'd have died in my sin. If it had not been for the Lord, I'd have never entered those pearly gates. If it had not been for the Lord, my soul would have never been redeemed. If it had not been for the Lord, I'd have died without hope. But then came Jesus. Glory to God. Amen. See, God's got a plan for everything. He had a plan for our salvation. I think about it in a couple ways, that phrase, then came Jesus. There when they brought him before Pilate in John 19, Pilate questioned him. And three times he came out before the Jews and said, I find no fault in this man. I find no fault in him. You know, they've observed him for some 2,000 years and the answer still rings out. You'll find no fault in him. Amen. My point is, the Bible says there in John 19:5, then came Jesus. Hey, Pilate didn't catch him off guard. The Jews didn't catch him off guard. The Roman soldiers didn't catch him off guard. This is why he came. This is what he came for. He came to pay our sin debt and to pay it in full. He set his face like a flint toward Calvary. Then I think about after he died, after the payment was made, where he cried out, it is finished. The church then began to meet in an upper room. They didn't meet publicly. They had to meet in an upper room. I'll give you that they weren't practicing 6 feet apart. Amen. Okay. But still they weren't public. They were meeting in an upper room. But I read there on the first day of the week, while they were closed in and the doors were shut and the windows were shut, and they were huddled together. Then came Jesus. Amen. Then Thomas showed up, and boy, everybody said, Thomas, you missed it. See, that's why you can't afford to lay out of church. Thomas missed one service, and boy, what a service. Amen. But he come the next week. Boy, they'd got that thirst up for him. He came the next week. And boy, he was waiting. He was there with him waiting in. And again, the Bible says, then came Jesus. My whole point to this thing is this. That someday this too will come to pass. All this has got us so bothered right now. We're fretting how we can't meet, and fretting how the society's changed, and fretting how we can't even get a haircut, and can't go visit Aunt Sally or Uncle Joe, or fretting how we can't go look at shoes. Thought I'd help you ladies. But all this is going to come to pass. And we're going to look back at it and say, if it had not been the Lord.
Amen.
Hey, he's still in control.
Yes, sir.
He's got it all together. Amen. Just anchor in him.
Yes, sir.
Just keep looking to him. If it had not been the Lord, that's what they said, who was on our side. God's always on our side. You know, at your worst, God's on your side. Even when your thoughts aren't right, God's on your side. Amen. But if we could only keep that thought, God's got this thing. It's not too big for him. Everything's going to be all right. Amen. Who knows? Who knows? There cannot be a strong United States when the Lord comes. We don't figure in end time. That British Israelism and all that stuff, you got to rest too many scriptures for all that. Amen. We're not the new Israel.
No.
No. We're the church that's going up.
Amen.
We're the church that's going up. Glory to God. We're headed up. We're getting up out of here. Glory to God. If it had not been the Lord, hey, everything's going to be okay. We're still on the winning side. God's still in control. We'll look back on it. Maybe it might be just a few months down the road, or it might be next year this time. We don't know, but we're going to look back through it and say, boy, I remember, if it had not been the Lord, he's going to come through. Everything's going to be all right. We're on the winning side. Amen. Don't let the devil get you down. Don't let the devil detour you. Don't let that adversary steal your joy, as the preacher preached about this morning. Amen. Don't walk by sight. Walk by faith.